Jenkins made the people in this area very much aware of that, too. Mm-hmm. Back over, what the message started, but then they were very much aware of it. They began to see that an educational institution was good business for Eastern North Carolina.
And East Carolina is sort of the focal point of the region.
I remember one of the studies we had here at the time, we were trying to get university status at the med school or something. Mm-hmm. A group of people came in from outside, and in their report, they made the comment that they had been surprised just to go off the campus a short way and talk to people and find out the degree to which the people regarded this institution as the focal point for the development that they were interested in. That they had never seen such a relationship between a community and a university. And you know, if you look back into the history of American higher education, you see that American higher education has often been very pragmatic. It's adapted to the needs of the society more than other places. The professional schools were a result of it, and all this, you see. But what I'm talking about is a group of people who came from all over the country, mm-hmm. and they were startled that they'd never seen anything like it.
How close we were integrated with the, I mean, the community. And still, and that puts the president and chancellor in a unique role outside the campus.
Yeah, it does. It's been, you know, that's a relationship that could be problem, could be a problem for a university. Mm-hmm. If the community outside thought then that it was going to control the university. Yeah. But that, you know, is a problem that never has developed here. I think it's one that any institution anywhere is going to have to be aware of. But
yep.
I think it would be especially, it could especially be a problem
yeah.
here because, you know, the East Carolina is not just something sitting off over there on a hill, an ivory tower. It's very much regarded by the people as part of this, it's a part of the community.
And it's sort of the lever that has raised the
And you know, it's amazing that they have not been more worried about the ideas that get set forth here about this polyglot faculty, you know, ranging from this to that.
Yeah.
And you know, any educational institution is allowed to be sort of tradition breaking,
mm-hmm.
and they've not really been. I've not seen much evidence that they are alarmed that faculty members say radical things in their classes, or that students kiss in public. I guess.
They have come to perhaps dismiss.
I guess we have, it's been that we've hit this at a time when the standards in the whole society are changing too.
Yeah. But they have or tend to dismiss us as kooky.
But you see, back, for example, back when there was this rage for streaking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the college students who would do it. Well, you know, that could have been devastating to a university mm-hmm. and a community that wanted to be prudish. And Jenkins got some complaints. But he responded to it in the most ingenious way. He said, all these crowds of townspeople from Greenville and Kinston and Goldsboro didn't come crowding in to watch it. It'd probably go away. The students are just doing it because there's a crowd. I'd be there looking at them. And then, you know, I think probably they said, yeah, well, yeah, we are, you know, yeah. We are participating in that. I remember once when I was a kid, I went home one weekend and went to the local town, Roanoke, Alabama, with my father, and Big Jim Folks came by to make a speech against the Boswell Amendment to the Alabama Constitution, which was an amendment that was put on, proposed along about 1948 to prevent blacks from voting. After the Supreme Court had ruled that they couldn't. And Folsom was opposed to the amendment in Alabama, but, you know, brought the attack on him. Oh, it was a hard attack on him, see. He was going around town, all these little towns. And one of the ways that they developed to cut back his credibility was to make all those reports on that red-haired woman he was sleeping with all over the state. And we were standing on the main street of Roanoke, almost between the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church. And he drove in on his flatbed truck. The strawberry pickers started up a team. He got up and put on his shoes. And there was a crowd collected at the time. And he looked around. He said, now, before I start talking about the Boswell Amendment, there's just one thing I want to say. It's been a little gossip about me and a red-haired man. And he said, I just want to say this about that. Boys will be boys, and girls will be girls. And, you know, I just looked around, and I just saw that whole crowd just up saying, yeah, old Big Jim, right. You know, and he just shot the hell out of that. Standing between the Methodist Church and the Baptist Church, talking to a bunch of farmers in rural Alabama. And that was sort of what Jenkins did to Baptist. He said, you in on this too, you know, stop complaining to me about it.
He has a remarkable understanding of Eastern North Carolina.
Yeah.
So lots of people say it is so different, you know, that you really need an interpreter, but he, I guess, living in Alabama has just a unique understanding.
Oh, he's been here.
Long enough that, and sensitive anyway. There's one other thing I wanted to pick up on. With the university status and the med school development, which really came first? Or was it a...
University status came first.
Because I see some two-year medical school in the early 60s. The drive for, in the papers, the headline Jenkins, after a two-year med school. And so
in the 60s, early 60s?
Early 60s, about 63, 64 before, and then it seemed like the university status then took the center and then the medical school again. But there was a lot of talk about a two-year med school in, 63. 62, 63, 64, right
in there. When did the history department move from Old Boston to New York?
Now that was before I came. I came in 67. It became a department.
It was a department.
In Old Boston?
Yeah.
I can check. Dahlia will know.
Well, I'm just, that's not as important as a finder. I remember, I was in that building still, and I was talking to Bob Williams, who had been doing a lot of the work on getting that first bill passed. And he had gotten, he wasn't up there, he was here, but somebody who was up there had called him and told him that they were proposing an amendment to provide that we could have the med school if we could get it accredited in 18 months. And that was about to go through, and he was trying to get in touch with Horton Roundtree to explain to him that that was impossible.
But that probably was the, and, well, that was for the 2 year.
Yeah.
For the 2 year med school.
When was the nursing school established?
It was established in 60, just before Dr. Jenkins. It was going, just gone through the assembly just before Dr. Jenkins became president, and then it actually came into being. Dr. Messick is very clear on this. He wants the
well, then I guess it,
credit.
I guess the
that.
Talk about the medical school began right
like
away.
That. And it was there, and then what I'm trying to say, they were always together, in a way, two sides of the coin. I mean, the university status and the idea of a med school.
Yeah.
And I guess he focused on one or the other. When I came in 67, it was just the university status had just gone, been approved that summer.
The med school bill had certainly been approved then, hadn't it?
With the 2 year, but it then went sort of on the back burner until
well, you see, then we knew right away when that bill was passed that it couldn't be done, and I don't think we even made much effort to establish it. A committee came in here and looked at the place, and that may have been the committee that talked about the support that we had at our school. And they recommended the establishment of the School of Allied Health
as
an alternative to that. And we set that up and didn't set up the medical school.
That's where I've been concerned. That became the platform to work for.
And then we set that up and then moved again for the medical school.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the order of that.
As far as Dr. Jenkins was going, it was always in the background.
Oh, always the med school.
Yeah.
And this next phase of the medical school that was successful came at the same time we were pushing to be allowed to offer a doctoral degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got the legislation for the doctoral degrees through first. Authorization plan.
Good point.
And I became dean of the graduate school in 69 then, and that was the first thing that I was doing. One of the reasons I took that job.
Yeah, to develop the plans for the university, for the doctoral programs. And then the bottom call out of the demand for doctoral.
Yeah, and then you see, then we did have the reorganization of the university that reversed that.
We had it, but actually we had it.
We had the authorization.
Yeah.
But by the time we could have done it, the areas that we were ready to do it in were
like history.
History.
I know we were. Yeah. And that there was the blood. And so then that was reversed with the consolidation. Was Dr. Jenkins opposing consolidation, or was he pragmatic about
Well, I guess he was posing it in a quiet way. Not very open, because it was beginning to look as if that was too inevitable.
Yeah. I know you mentioned, I'm going to get
you see, in a way, William Friday was too.
Mm-hmm. For different.
You see, there were three factions there. The Board of Higher Education, mm-hmm. the Consolidated University head by Friday, and then the independent universities that were under the Board of Higher Education more than the Consolidated University.
But technically, the Board of Education was on top of everything.
The Board of Higher Education was on top, that's right.
But not.
But they didn't really have much control over anybody, mm-hmm. you see, including us.
Yeah.
They were more coordinated board. And when they set up the Board of Governors, they gave it a whole lot of power to prevent that. But you see, part of the drive, which was led by Cameron West, who was the chairman of the Board of Higher Education, and Robert Scott, mm-hmm. who was the governor, was to, looked as if it was to strengthen the Board of Higher Education. And it had so much support behind it that it was not very politic to be too open in the opposition to it. But you see, Friday didn't know, if that was going to come out with Cameron West, the president of the new system, mm-hmm. Friday didn't like that any more than Leo Jenkins did, you see. Yeah. So they were, Friday and Jenkins were together on that.
For different reasons.
For different reasons, but they were sort of quietly maneuvering together on that. Mm-hmm. Because Friday didn't have any way of knowing at all that he was going to be in charge.
Yeah.
And then, I guess, you know, when it happened, finally, Friday eventually had more reason to be glad of it than Jenkins did.
Yeah, it certainly.
But see, that system started off with Friday as the president, but Cameron West was put in as a senior person on his staff. That was a
With the consolidation, when it finally went through. There are those who look upon it as also a way to control Dr. Jenkins.
Yeah.
But
it was also necessary, mm-hmm. and it was happening in all the other states.
Yeah.
It would have happened whether there was a Dr. Jenkins or not, with the cut back in resources, with the reduction, it's not mm-hmm. cut back, but with the reduction of that expansion and with the overbuilding in a lot of states, it was beginning to be necessary to control that in a central place because the legislature didn't have the time to handle it. Mm-hmm. So it was inevitable.
Cut out the political.
It was inevitable that some sort of structure was going to be given more power to put brakes on all of it. As it turned out, you know, it hasn't been any brake on East Carolina to speak of.
I was going to say, look, it doesn't, because you don't know what would have happened with Andy, but it doesn't look like East Carolina has suffered in some ways.
William Friday is not the sort of person who wants anything under his jurisdiction to languish.
That's good.
And once he becomes in charge of it, it's a different ball game.
that's
right.
You've got a lunch.
Yeah. Well, I've enjoyed talking with you, reminiscing about old times.
Oh,
do you have any more questions?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask you, if I can have a rain check
sure.
before I get this thing through
sure.
all its phases. I'll probably be in touch again. But this has been so helpful in those understanding the administrative
development. Yeah, you better write it down before some of us old hands forget it.
I'm getting it down because I can read. It's so helpful though to have someone to talk to because